time. For the fastest 3 hours in morning talk radio, live and local, it's the Ed Dean Radio Show. Here he is, the headliner, the showstopper, the main event. Here's Ed Dean.
Hour number three, 8:04. Good morning, everybody. Ed Dean right here on the only morning show of its kind anywhere in Northeast Florida. It is the three fastest hours, and we are nothing but talk. You don't leave stuff on an app. You don't have to. I mean, we do take your emails, but calls, questions, and comments, the only one of its kind. Ed Dean right here, FM 101.1, AM 600, WBOB. Also hanging out with Roger Henderson and AJ Davis. 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255. A lot of guests lined up for you. But before we get to all the news, here's Roger Henderson. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Back in August, Jacksonville City Council President Anna Lopez Brochet called for an inventory of all Confederate monuments on city-owned property with the intention of asking them to be removed. Now, Brochet says the inventory list is in her hands. The list shows all three Civil War-related monuments and eight historic markers on city property. If the monuments are to be removed, it won't be easy. There are still a lot of hurdles, such as finding a museum or school that would take the monuments if they are removed. Critics have also questioned how the monuments would be removed and put in places such as museums or universities. According to the latest numbers from the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation, property insurance claims from Hurricane Irma have approached $4.6 billion in estimated losses. As of Friday, there were 703,671,000 claims. Claims have been filed in all 67 counties, with Miami-Dade County having the largest number with over 87,000. On Monday, a Florida Senate Environmental Committee approved a pair of bills for the 2018 legislative session that will require at least $50 million a year for Northeast Florida environmental projects. Some of those items include beach nourishment and inland management projects and money to go towards helping restore the St. John's River, its tributaries, and the Keystone Heights Lake region. The money would come from a 2014 voter-approved constitutional amendment that called for setting aside a portion of the dock stamp taxes to go to land and water conservation.
904-222-8255. Before we get to the phones, Kevin Derby is the senior political writer for SunshineStateNews.com. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
Good. Outside of you, is Steve Bannon becoming the most powerful outside of the elected official in the state of Florida?
We'll see. You know, we will see. Look, Steve Bannon has some interesting moves going on with the Republican primaries next year. There are two guys who are basically kind of off the radar screen. One of them is Ted Cruz. Bannon said, you know, we have no intention of offering a conservative challenge to Ted Cruz. They're saying, look, we want conservatives. We want to have Republicans who will not back Mitch McConnell for Senate leader. But Cruz kind of fits the bill because, look, Texas is the most expensive state to play in outside of California. It's going to be a pretty close race. The Democrats have a pretty decent candidate in Beto O'Rourke, a congressman, conservative, Democratic congressman. That's a tight race. But the other one that the people are kind of ignoring, Steve Bannon has no intention of going into Florida. Why? Because Rick Scott is going to have this nomination in pretty good shape right now. You're not going to be able to go toe to toe with him. You're not going to be able to go dollar for dollar with the governor. And look, Governor Scott has worked pretty well with Trump. He's worked pretty well with the Republican majority in general. I think Rick Scott is kind of in a catbird seat. He's one of the few Republicans who would probably be able, both the establishment and the Bannonites would be able to be okay with. I think he unites a lot of groups. He's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There are certainly some, you know, conservative discontent with Scott on immigration and spending matters. But at the same time, he's about as well as they can do. It's an expensive market to play in, obviously. And I think Rick Scott's in very good shape here. And I think that's the reason Bannon is staying out.
Are they getting involved in the Florida governor's race?
That's going to be the question. I think they've got to be taking a long look at it. You know, if the Senate race there's very little drama there in the Republican primary. There can be some in the Republican gubernatorial race. Adam Putnam is the front runner, but he's a vulnerable one. There's certainly a lot of room to run to Putnam's right on immigration, hitting him as a career politician. And someone like either Ron DeSantis, who the buzz is building, he will get in this race, or Florida House Speaker Richard Corcoran will get in that race and make that conservative argument against Putnam.
What is a bigger news item, the Jags winning their third game of the season or kneeling down at an NFL protest?
You know, that was a pretty big win against Pittsburgh. That was a very big win against Pittsburgh. Right. Of course, did not see that one coming. But no, look, even with Mike Pence and the incident there in Indianapolis, you know, I think the kneeling story is already starting to take a backseat. There are other things that are popping up, so to speak. You know, it's a story that's going to be continuing to fade as the weeks go on. And frankly, look, for Pence to take a taxpayer-funded trip out there and do that, you know, they knew it was coming. It was kind of a photo op at the public expense, and people are rightfully, on the right and left, are calling Pence on.
Real quick, is it one of these, before I get to the phones here, is it one of these where they got the message very quickly, not so much the Jaguars, even though they were the first NFL team to kneel down during the national anthem, but did they get the message very quickly because they sit back and say, okay, fine, you can kneel down during maybe a prayer, which is kind of traditional, but we don't want you kneeling down during the playing of the national anthem. By them going down that route, I think they want to put this bed to rest.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The owners, the NFL, absolutely wants to. Look, the NFL needs to take a little bit of a dip in the ratings. I think we on the right are often making too much of that. Oh, look at their ratings. Oh, they're awful. They're abysmal. No, they're not, actually. And, you know, look, I think it also just kind of, we're in a new world. It's no longer, we just watch on our TVs. I can stream NFL games from my cell phone, Pete said. So I do think part of that is also part of it. Look, there are also a lot of other stories. It's one of these things, there's always going to be the story of the month, which we forget about a month later. And I think that's where this one's going, unfortunately, for better or for worse.
Kevin Derby, senior political writer for Sunshine State News. Good to talk to you this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
904-222-8255. In a few moments after the phone calls, we're going to have a big debate. Is Trump going to cave in on the border wall, DACA? Some of the conservatives say yes. 904-222-8255. We also have our trivia. Name me the last Democratic president to cut the estate tax, and name me the last president to raise the corporate tax rate. Doesn't mean you have to answer them both in the same question, AJ. I'm just now needing to give me different answers. Let's go to Galen. Galen, thanks for waiting. Good morning.
Is the trivia question Clinton and Bush?
It depends on what answer you're given to the question.
Clinton was the last one to cut the inheritance tax, and Bush, number two, was the last one to raise corporate.
Okay, I'm going to give you... Now, you're only right on one, so you've got the answer correct. Clinton was the last Democratic president to cut the estate tax. So I'll give you that one. But
partial credit.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Well, I mean, that's partial credit does pass with me. Before AJ puts you on hold, give me your topic on the gun control.
Yeah, I wanted to discuss why it seems like no one touches on the fact that, or why does the ATF and the FBI get a free pass on all these issues? I mean, with the Pulse nightclub shooting, the guy was reported twice by gun dealers trying to buy body armor, different things. They investigate him for a couple days, then they let him go kill everyone. And then in the second issue, they immediately, within like an hour after the shooting, the news outlets already knew that the man had purchased 33 guns this year alone. Now, if I'm building an arsenal, you know, buying dozens of guns a year, shouldn't he been investigated even if his background checks came back flawless? I mean, I realize they have to destroy the personal records of an approved background check, but they keep a log. They knew that he was buying an arsenal. Why didn't anyone stop by and check this guy out? I think it's ridiculous that our current agencies have billions of dollars of revenue and get almost nothing done.
I appreciate the phone call, 904-222-8255. But, I mean, I don't know if he had a gun license to sell. I mean, did he also buy, maybe he sold them as a collector's item as well. Maybe, I don't know. Well, I'm sure we'll find that out in the next few days. Keith, good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. The trivia, I'm throwing Kennedy for the tax estate cut and Reagan for the other one.
No, sir. We already got the estate when that was Clinton, you know, surprisingly. But, yeah, go ahead, Keith. What's your comment on the guns and kids?
Okay, guns and kids. If anybody wants to, just Google, boy uses AR-15 to defend 12-year-old sister. And that guns and kids argument goes out the window. As far as the bump stocks, you know, being quote-unquote reasonable gun control. No, it's not.
Right.
It is not. Bump stocks are legal because they should be. That, you know, bump stocks didn't go up to the window and start shooting people. Don't make bump stocks illegal. Like we were talking the other day, you don't really need them, but that's not going to do anything. Just what new law would help? Outlawing bump stocks wouldn't help.
I agree with you, Keith. I think a lot of people would agree with you as well. Thank you for the call. 904-222-8255. Congressman John Rutherford, former sheriff out of Duval County, says, I'm going to vote to ban bump stocks. That's what he urged in a letter to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. The NRA differs with him. I don't know if there's going to be a big blow there, but we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Coming up next, Bob Corker, the president, DACA, the border wall. Who's going to blink first? We'll have this debate coming up next with our panel debate, plus your calls. Ed Dean on WBOB. We'll take calls at 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255. Can we just play
the
music?
Oh, the cheerleaders are here.
So anyways, 904-222-8255, email address at WBOB.com. Ed Dean along with Roger Henderson, AJ Davis here, mornings from 6 to 9. Here on our newsmaker line, Ben Yant, radio talk show host, statewide political reporter with Cities 92.9. Also on our newsmaker line, Steve Gill, a lawyer, political commentator, who worked in the H.W. Bush and the Clinton administration. So let me start with you, Steve Gill. You're out of Tennessee. I want to talk about DACA and the president and who's going to blink first. Many of even those on the conservative aisle think that the president's not going to get the wall done. There is no art of the deal out there. Before I get to that, what is this big brouhaha? Should anybody really care what Bob Corker thinks, the guy who's not going to be running for Tennessee senator anymore? Does anybody really care what he thinks about Trump and Trump vice versa about him?
There weren't a lot of people who cared much what he thought about Trump before he got the exit ramp started. And now when he's kind of engaging in this war of words, or I guess war of tweets with President Trump, most of the polling and most of the indications are that more folks are siding with President Trump than with Bob Corker's kind of hysterical exit from the U.S. Senate. You know, this is not something new. Corker, months ago, criticized President Trump for overseeing an administration that was in a, quote, downward spiral and out of control. And then about a month ago, he came back and questioned the president's stability and competence. And now that he was kind of forced out of office because he saw what was happening in Alabama with Luther Strange getting beat by almost double digits despite the establishment spending $30 million on his behalf, Bob Corker saw the handwriting on the wall and decided he could not survive an election in Tennessee. So he headed out, and now he's just pitching a tantrum like a petulant four-year-old after losing power.
You know, Ben, before I get to this dock and this border wall, is it kind of good riddance? I mean, Bob Corker was one that advocated raising the sales gasoline tax. He was very instrumental when it comes to the Iran nuclear deal out there. Is he one of these that probably would have been ousted in a Republican primary anyways?
This is somebody who up until a couple of days ago I thought his name was Steve. That's how big his this guy is. And yeah, they don't get it. They still don't get it. Mitch McConnell, Lamar Alexander, Bob Corker. They don't understand that people, Republican voters, not just Trump supporters, Republican voters are tired of excuses. We were promised a repeal and replace. We were promised a border wall. Whether you agree with a border wall or not, we were promised these things. And the tide of the country is turning against the Congress that wants to operate for the benefit of Congress, for the benefit of Washington, D.C., and not the people. And anybody who's on that long boat to nowhere can get on it and leave Washington, D.C., or they will be invited by voters to explore other opportunities after November of 2018.
Here is, and let's move to the issue of DACA. Here was, you can listen to Chuck Schumer and then Donald Trump. Schumer says there is no deal about building a border wall. Then Trump says, well, yeah, there is a deal. If we don't get the wall, we're not going any further. Here's clip number five.
All agreed on a framework to pass DACA protections and additional border security measures, excluding the wall. While both sides agreed that the wall would not be any part of this agreement, the president made clear he intends to pursue it at a later time. And we made clear that we would continue to oppose it.
All right, let me, before I go with what the president says, Steve Gill, here's my question, and you and I have both have, and along with Ben, we both have journalist backgrounds. Steve, what area do, and I know you may be facetious on your answer, but I'm asking you almost, I do have a grin, but I'm being honest here. When they talk about border security, but they don't want a wall, then please, I am a little confused here, Steve Gill. What is the liberals or the Democrats' definition of borders, or excuse me, border security, if we're not going to build the wall, then I'm confused.
Well, these are the same folks that have voted to fund a wall or build a wall in the past. They just didn't vote to fund it. You had John McCain, when he ran for re-election several years ago, doing TV commercials saying, build the dang wall, and then hasn't done anything to actually make it happen. The Democrats want to talk about border security, get to amnesty for millions of illegals with the promise they'll come back later and provide border security. That's been the scam time and time and time again. And the American people are sick of promises not being fulfilled, whether it's Republicans voting to repeal Obamacare until there's a president who would actually do it, or Democrats saying they're for border security but never actually doing anything to make it happen. And this has played out before. Remember, the Democrats played this game of amnesty with the Gang of Eight, and they lost 10 Senate seats around the country. That's how Republicans got in control of the Senate. So Republicans and Trump are going, yeah, let's play this game again, and we'll pick up another 10 seats this election cycle.
Here is Ben Yont. Here's President Trump saying, no, you're going to have a wall before we even address the issue of DACA and the dreamers.
We're talking about taking care of people that were brought here, people that have done a good job and were not brought here of their own volition. But very importantly, what we want, we have to have a wall. We'll only do it if we get extreme security. If we don't have the wall, we're doing nothing.
He says, if we don't have the wall, we're not doing anything. Let me play one more here for you. Here is Guy Benson from townhall.com. He says, I think the wall proposal, when you look at what's he said, she said, it will be built, it will not be built, goes to the advantage of the Democrats. Here's clip number 7.
Remembering now, Michael Short, a top advisor at the White House, had seemingly confirmed about a month ago that the president had taken the wall off the table as a red line demand in this negotiation. Now it appears that the demand is back on the table. So I know some people looked at this laundry list today as maybe the art of the deal, ask big and then gravitate sort of towards the middle after having moved the Overton window in your direction. The only problem with that theory in this situation is that the White House had already apparently given some big concessions, which they're now backtracking on. I think the leverage goes to the Democrats here.
Ben, who do you believe in this issue? Do you think Trump caved in by saying we're not going to build the wall and then kind of reneged during the middle of negotiating, now if there's any negotiating happening, by saying no, the wall is back on the table? Who do you believe, Ben?
I believe the president has always wanted a wall. I stood in a rainy hangar in March of last year where he promised that he would get a wall. Listen, this is the problem. Chuck and Nancy made a deal thinking that they were smarter than this president, thinking that they could save DACA, and now they've got to save DACA. And the problem is that the president can get a wall and allow the DACA students to stay in this country and not lose any votes. Chuck and Nancy can't get DACA but allow a wall and not get voted out of office. They put themselves in this trick box because they really thought that somehow they had pulled over a maneuver. Well, we have a framework in place. Dude, a framework is a framework. A vote is a vote. Legislation is legislation. A law is a law. And President Trump went around this country saying he was going to get a wall. He gets a wall, and the 30% of people in this country that love him continue to love him. And you know what? If he doesn't get a wall because Congress won't give it to him, those 30% are still going to love him.
Here's
That's
more.
Why they love him.
All right. Here's more of the clip.
Because they're very happy to stand up to Trump vis-a-vis their base and to say, you set this ticking clock. You said you want to help these kids who were happy to keep this as an active issue for us. Your move.
All right. So it's your move here, Steve Gill. The bottom line is a border wall is great. Sometimes you see, Steve, there's purity on both sides. It's all or nothing. They don't want to compromise. Is there a worthwhile compromise to give the Dreamers what they want, backdoor amnesty here, Steve Gill, in order to build a wall?
Yeah, I think the deal that ultimately will happen, or the Democrats will get nothing for the Dreamers, so they are playing this all or nothing game. I think the deal will be some form of pathway to citizenship for the Dreamers, but not extending to their family members, not having the chain migration that would actually take it from 750,000 Dreamers to 3 or 4 million family members getting amnesty. And then I think in exchange for that, and to me, the bigger issue is the E-Verify. I think you're going to get the wall. I think you're going to get enhanced border security, enhanced deportation, and E-Verify as the deal if there is a deal that happens. And the reason E-Verify, which is where employers then have the capacity to really, in a tangible and accurate way, check whether somebody's legal or not before they hire them. And if they hire them illegally, then they pay a price. If you shut off the jobs, you will shut off the flood of illegal immigration. So E-Verify to me is even more important than the wall, but
yeah.
Trump campaigned on the wall.
All right. I know that. Hey, Ben, I got about literally 20 seconds here. Where does this story go over the next couple months?
The clock is still ticking. That's a Democrat problem. The president has no problem letting the clock run out on this and saying, okay, DACA students, Democrats in Congress wouldn't save you. Have fun. See you later.
Ah.
That Democrats, that doesn't do anything to Trump's base.
Let me look at that crystal eight ball. You may be exactly correct over the next several weeks. Ben Yon is a statewide political reporter with Cities 92.9. Steve Gill, former official who worked in the H.W. Bush and the Clinton administration. Both of you, good to talk to you. Love this issue right here on the Ed Dean Radio Show. All right. 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255. We still have a trivia. Somebody got the answer in the second hour here, Roger. The question now is, name me the president the president that cut the estate tax before W, the last Democratic president, was Bill Clinton. Name me the last president to raise the corporate tax rate. Who was that president? Doesn't matter what party they are.
Now, I'm reading a hint into this because you didn't specify.
I'm not giving any hints. 904-222-8255. That's your hint.
There's your hint.
904-222-8. I know everybody keeps texting me. I'm not giving you the answer. 904-222-8255. Name me the last president to raise the corporate tax rate. 904-222-8255. Plus, we got some more clips on this DACA. Should there be a compromise for immigration or should there be a purity test? Hey, we want to build the wall. We want to do something about the Dreamers. Or would you guys cave in for that? Also, the issue of guns. Should there be statewide term limits for school board officials? We'll get to all of this here in a little bit. Your calls, questions, and comments at 904-222-8255. Ed Dean right here. FM 101.1, AM 600. This is The Answer. Four minutes after the hour, email address at WBOB.com. Also, download the app. It is free. Go to WBOB.com. And while you're there, you can read our latest articles that we have up online. Sheriff John Rutherford, who is now Congressman John Rutherford, always call him Sheriff,
yeah.
who's been pro-gun. Some people, we have an article up there. It doesn't throw him under the bus. It just says the NRA opposes any type of ban. Of course, when it comes to the bump stocks, because it absolutely has nothing to do with what took place almost a week and a half ago in Las Vegas with the Las Vegas massacre. Congressman Rutherford agrees with many of the other Republican members of Congress. And he says, hey, I support maybe looking at this to ban it. So is he at odds? And so we got that latest article.
And you have to respect his view because he does come from law enforcement.
Yeah.
And, maybe it does.
But if it has nothing to do with what took place, what's the point of passing it? That's what I'm getting at. If it had nothing to do with the issue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, you could use ammunition clips and, narrate the issue of about limiting that. I mean, it still wouldn't have mattered. So anyway, 904-222-8255. Let's go to JC. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to piggyback on the gentleman that was on before about the E-Verify. I think that is not a good idea because that would give absolute power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have these things called birth certificates that every state issues to people born in the United States. A birth certificate should trump anything. And if you're worried about people forging them or anything like that, the states at their website should have, pages that show how, whether it's a forgery or a real one or not. And I'm sure you can make it. They're made out of the same type of material, the checks that are issued that can't be duplicated either.
Okay, question. Question to you, JC. Usually sure. when you have to verify the vote, you have to have two forms of ID, your bank statement whatsoever. If the birth certificate does not satisfy those, why e-verify would be considered a second form of ID? Why not go along with that?
Well, I mean, you're adding a new talking point to the conversation. We were talking about illegal immigration. Why are we going into voting?
No. I'm using the same analysis. If it's going to be with that as well, to have two forms of ID to verify it, why not have two forms of ID when it comes to verifying those of illegal aliens? As you said you could forge your birth certificate. I say then, hey, let's have another form of ID then through an e-verify system.
Well, if it is a forgery, a forged birth certificate, the state should have a web page on, you know, at the bureau that does the engraving. I don't know if it'd be a federal thing or a state thing at that point. They would just have a page where you could actually pull it up, have the birth certificate in front of you, look at it, see the distinguishing marks that makes it real or forged, and then that would settle the issue. I mean, I don't understand why we'd have to have that. It's not a good thing. I mean, it's almost, and then people are talking about then the next thing after e-verify is having a national ID. And a national ID, man, that we would be just like Nazi Germany. Like, where are your papers? Where are your papers? You know, you have to have ID with you. You don't have to have an ID with you. In a free society, you don't have to have an ID on you to go freely, you know, throughout that free society.
Are you sure about that? Driver's licenses are a national ID. I mean, your Social Security card is a national ID.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. They're recognized from state to state.
They're state regulated.
Recently, however,
NCIS. Go ahead.
They've had the real ID superimposed on your driver's license, where you have the star in the top left hand corner. That has made it a federal ID because there's so much objection to the federal ID.
Yeah.
The federal government kind of snuck that in under the radar.
I appreciate the call, but I mean. You have to have your papers. I mean, this is not a Nazi thing. I'm just saying driver's licenses have to be recognized nationwide. Hence, watch the show Cops. Okay? Once you get pulled over, they do a national background check on you. E-Verify, the only people to pose, I like E-Verify, the only people to pose it are a bunch of libertarians out there. But I appreciate the phone call. 904-222-8255. Hank, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning. I'm kind of all over the fence here this morning with Pence and Hill, and also the gun debate on what's an arsenal and what's not an arsenal. But first thing with Pence saying it's a stun, I'd like to say that we need to go back and remember that, you know, he's a politician, but the king of all political stunts is Bill Clinton, because we went to Normandy in 94 and he found 8 or 9 rocks on a beach that didn't have any rocks and constructed a cross. Then he went and walked through the cemetery that had about 10,000 American flags, all nicely done, but he found one that actually was falling over and he had to correct it and, you know, put it back up there. So that's all photo op opportunity and stuff, but at least Pence was sitting there making a statement to say, this is why you need to stand, you know, for the American flag, for what it stands for and stuff. The other thing with Hill, my thing would be like, well, if the Reverend's saying that, you know, she can say what she wants to say. Why does Hollywood try to blacklist conservatives and not let them have the voice that they should have? And, you know, to kind of hold that against them if they're conservative. And the last thing is with saying what's an arsenal and what's not an arsenal, I think that's pretty bad, because if you let the police or any government agency come into your house to sit there and look and see what you have, the next thing they're going to look at your bookshelf to see what you're reading. They're going to say, what websites are you looking at to manipulate possible firearms or, you know, things like that. You're letting the elephant into the tent and you don't want to let them into.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Hank. 904-222-8255. You know, we talked about this Harvey Weinstein thing. The left is so hypocritical. They're hypocritical when it comes to the issue of money in politics. Their issue when it comes to, you know, they're always out there wanting to tax the rich, but yet when they want to have movies in Georgia and movies in Florida, they're the biggest promoters of tax breaks. When it comes to going after Donald Trump or Bill O'Reilly, yet their own Bill Clinton, of course, this guy Harvey Weinstein, you know, again, the outrage, where's the outrage from the Clinton and from the Obamas? Again, the hypocrisy of what's... And with all due respect, notice the quote, casting couch in Hollywood. When it comes to violence and all these leftists out there want to push, especially from Hollywood, gun control, yet they're the biggest purveyors of violence. Weinstein has promoted in all of the Quentin Tarantino movies, which has been some of the most violent movies out there.
Yeah.
So.
Hypocritical.
904-222-8255. By the way, back to one other thing about E-Verify. One of the biggest complaints that have been talked about with illegal aliens has been forged birth certificates, forged Social Security numbers, forged Medicare, state-run Medicaid IDs. Hence, you still need a backup E-Verify. I support it would be the right way to go.
So instead of one form of ID, you have to show two.
I would show several. The banks require an ID. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you still, I mean, I'm sorry, folks, the baptismal certificate just doesn't fly anymore. You need to have a photo ID that's valid. And yes, you have to have it on you all time. That's not a Nazi thing. Let's go to Rice quickly. Rice, good morning.
Ed Dean is back. Woo!
Hey. Yeah,
it took four of us to take your place yesterday, Ed.
No, it usually takes about 24.
And still didn't do as good of a job.
No, of course not. But thank you anyway. Rice, what's going on this morning?
Ed Dean could do it all by himself. Hey. Almost. Except for AJ. I don't know about the new guy yet, but we'll figure that out. Listen.
Me either.
Before I get to bump stocks, which would be a violation of the American Disability Act, because a bump stock, from my understanding of it, allows a person who's disabled with their nerve damage or their hand or arm to be able to fire a weapon. So that could be an argument fighting against a certain so-called unnecessary ban on a bump stock. It's against the American Disabilities Act. That can be a tactic there for...
I never thought about that.
So we're still in Columbus Day celebration. A great Italian Jew, which, thank God, I am also. But before all that, I'm an American. I'm not white. I'm an American. I'm not black. I'm an American by the grace of God. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're still on Columbus Day. And, you know, he fought against Muslims on the oceans before he was sent to save lives. He saved Jewish lives from the persecution of the Jews in Portugal and Spain. Like Schindler's List, he's responsible for saving thousands of lives. He's a great American. Spain celebrates him. Italians celebrate him. All Americans should celebrate the God-given chosen vessel of Christopher Columbus, and I'm so grateful.
All right. I appreciate it. Christopher Columbus, shout-out right there. 905, I had a school board member email me going, hey, my daughter goes to a local public school in another part of the state. She goes, I didn't realize that Columbus was a villain. Anyways,
okay.
Yeah, 904-222-8255. AJ doesn't get to those phones. He's going to be a villain here in a few months. I'm just kidding. AJ's Italian as well, so I say that. AJ, did you support Columbus Day yesterday?
Sure.
AJ's a busy guy.
He's overworked. Blake, good morning.
Good morning, Ed. Welcome back. The professor of morning radio, Ed Dean.
Hey.
That's your new title, brother. Hey, it's amazing that I follow Rice. He taught me something today, but this is two things. First of all, the Obama administration legalized bump stocks. Now, or authorize them, approve them. Why would a gun grabber do that? That's a good question. The other part of it is, as far as IDs go, when we talk about driver's licenses and all these other things, you have to show your driver's license if you're driving. The driver's license is establishing you have the ability to drive. So they're being used secondarily for identification rather than the primary purpose for which those documents were established.
All right, I appreciate the call. Are we parsing the definition of is? I don't care if it's a secondary ID. It's still a nationwide form of ID which they use, whether it's voter registration could be considered a secondary ID, but it's government issued. Sometimes it can be a little hard to forge that. Your phone call is coming up next, 904-222-8255. Ed Dean on WBOB. Forty-eight minutes after the hour, 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255. Ed Dean, along with AJ Davis, Roger Henderson, again 904-222-8255. Also, download the app; it is free. You can listen to us anywhere you like at wbob.com. Our latest articles we have up online. Let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, guys. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you, sir. How are you?
Doing fine. Hey, as a registered voter in Florida, there has been times where I vote early, either for regular elections or the primaries, and I go to the local library.
Oh, well, hold on, wait. So I have a quick question. Do you vote often?
as much as it's legal.
I know. I kid with you.
So you show them your ID card, and it serves many purposes to identify you and to identify where you live. And they take your ID, your driver's license, and scan it and print out your ballot for your precinct.
Right.
Because they don't know, you know, they don't keep a stack of, you know, every precinct going around. So you show up at any library, be it downtown, be it the beaches, be it the Highlands. That's why you show your ID card in the state of Florida, because they're going to print out that particular ballot for you. And I don't see where people have a problem with that. It seems to work in Florida. You know, the other states, I don't know what their problem is.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I appreciate the phone call. You bring a valid point. I mean, I get in this argument with all these libertarians all the time. I call them libertarians. You know why? Because they don't know which week of the issue to be on. Sometimes they're a little more liberal than the Democrats and a little bit more conservative than some of the Republicans. But the bottom line is when you come to this issue, Roger, I think many questions has to be asked. Many of you out there with a few minutes left. Is when it comes to the issue of DACA and the wall, and when it comes to a lot of other issues out there, would an E-Verify, I mean, should this be also be implemented in a, quote, immigration DACA border wall bill? And I say yes. And by the way, in the state of Florida, the group that's killed it has been Republicans.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, an earlier caller referenced how your ID, your driver's license is only an ID for when you're driving. That's not necessarily the case. Because on the back of my driver's license here, there are a couple of barcodes, and over the weekend, I had to get a new phone. I try to keep things as long as possible.
Right.
Just wasn't, you know, charging anymore. And on the back of my driver's license, the people at the phone store were able to scan something and pull up all kinds of information about me, and it had nothing to do with driving a car.
Right.
Hmm.
So
nice phone.
Yes, but as far as having a secondary ID for working, you know, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Listen, I don't get it. Some of you have been emailing me this morning. I don't know why we're just, you know, we're parsing the words here or the terms of what an ID is used for. A voter ID can be used as a second form of ID in many you know, areas for identification, whether from a bank or enter a building whatsoever. You have to have a photo ID. The most prominent one is a driver's license. I don't care if it's issued by the state. It is recognized nationwide. If you don't believe me, if you're from Florida, get pulled over into Georgia next week and see what happens. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah,
and
it.
So anyway, 904-222-8255, the issue of immigration DACA, this debate about whether or not Trump is going to compromise on that. Here was Jesse Waters on the 5 talking about this very issue, how, well, you just look at the past, Republicans, probably they themselves will compromise.
Yes. According to Democrats, anything the Republicans propose is a non-starter. The Democrats' idea of compromise is 100% of what they want. Mm-hmm. I understand why, though, because the Republicans in Congress have caved and buckled for the last 8 years. So it's two-pronged strategy here. One, you insert the wall, and at the last minute, you dial it back, and then you look like you're flexible and a big leader. Or you take the wall to the limit and make the Democrats look like rigid radicals. But here, he still has a Trump card. He can extend DACA if he doesn't like the terms for an extra 6 months. So he controls the whole debate. The issue, though, is the wall isn't as popular as protecting Dreamers. But I don't think Trump cares about polling, and I think his base is going to stay with him no matter what.
Do you know, I've always said, AJ and I have talked about this, when it comes to an issue of dealing with those that are already here illegally, Democrats have not wanted to fund judges or new or more immigration judges. I would totally, is there a role to expand government? Yes, there is. There is a role to expand government. It's done through the Constitution, okay? But also through state government, you're able to expand the role. For example, more people move in the area. If unless they do it online, you expand maybe a driver's license bureau or a voter registration building. That is that an expansion of government? Yes, but that is a needed area within a, remember, you're still supposed to have a small central government as well. I would expand the government ID when it comes to protecting the border here, Roger. I would also expand it, you know, the government when also when it comes to judges to deal with case by case issue here. If we're going to go down this road by not deporting them all back, some would say this would be realistic, some would say not, there has to be an issue on that. Expand the role of judges to take a case by case. And one of these mornings, I think we're going to have to do a whole show of, okay, then what's the silver bullet when it comes to immigration? Do you deport them?
Yeah.
It's got to be more than just building a wall.
I had a friend once say, and this is going to be very controversial, that sometimes it's in your best interest to mow your neighbor's yard. Maybe we need to get down into some of these areas that are underdeveloped, help them fix their countries so that they won't necessarily
it's gonna be hot today. Maybe somebody will mow my yard.
but you know, that's almost you sound like W there, calling an interventionist. I know what you're saying. Sometimes I'd love to have that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a lot of this, I mean, it's state by state basis. I mean, you've got 15 issues. A lot of people are emailing me this morning. You've got, well, Ed, what if we did this and what? You know, you've got 15 issues you could deal with in an immigration debate. You could sit back and say, okay, no education, no health care, no state-run Medicaid, no legal services out there. Even though we're spending billions upon billions of dollars, we're going to deport you all. I mean, the thing is when you enter this country illegally the first time, do you know it's not a misdemeanor? You know, it's a misdemeanor, not a felony.
Mm.
It's when you come back into this. And what about sanctuary cities? Trump says he wants to have a policy dealing with sanctuary cities. Now there's going to be lawsuits left and right about the funding of all this. He wants to come in and drain the swamp, and unfortunately, some of the biggest proponents or the biggest opponents that don't want to help him drain the swamp are those in the Republican side on this issue.
It's been surprising. You know, the Republicans control both houses of Congress and the White House and can't get on the same page.
And I've never bought into this argument that somehow if you deport them all back, because this has been such a stereotype here, that somehow they're not going to work in your restaurants. I've actually heard Democrats say this quote, well, who's going to vacuum... Who's going to mow your grass? And I'm like, wait, you're insinuating that the only people that cut grass are Hispanic? That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that do yard work or vacuum your hotel, they're Hispanic. That's such a stereotype. I've never bought into that. If a job's paying so much money per hour, then people are going to go work. To all these people that sit back and say, well, they're going to do the jobs that nobody else is going to do, then fine. You get everybody else off the welfare case, and you make them go out and get a job. And as the Chamber of Commerce, and I like many of their issues, but a lot of the Chamber of Commerce supports keeping artificially wages down. And they're the biggest proponents of all this, and they sit back and say, well, AJ's going to have to go pay for a slice of pizza at CZ's Pizza. You know, it's going to go up if we don't.
They're closed.
Yeah, they're closed. So anyway, they're. Or
interesting,
if
he would know that.
Ah, that's
the heat of my budget.
That's okay. Right. But the point I'm getting, I don't buy an argument. Well, your food cost is going to go up if you. I mean, we've already been told that immigration or legal immigration is down, but yet are my food costs going up? Let me tell you something. I think, Roger, a minimum wage hike increases my food costs much more than whether or not an illegal alien's going to be working at a restaurant.
That is a very good point. But here's something interesting to think about. There are more Americans living in Mexico than there are Mexicans living in America.
Are there really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Now, depending how you define Mexican, I'm assuming, immigrants, not someone who's third and second generation.
Huh. What if they came through Central America?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's just the math on it.
Did you know that, H? I did not know that.
No, that was a new one on me.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the immigration of Hispanics to America.
What do people see? I've been to Mexico. It's a gorgeous country. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the coast, but why would they give them the urge to go move down to Mexico?
I don't know. I think
I need to check those numbers out.
To verify them. I heard it somewhere. I probably didn't verify it myself at the time, but I'm just going from memory. But
where'd you get the numbers from, AJ?
I didn't look it up recently.
Yeah, I never heard about this.
No, I didn't hear about it either.
But you're saying that there are more Americans going to Mexico?
Living in Mexico.
Living there. I would imagine these are people who are retired.
Are they dodging bullets?
Who take advantage. Well, there's certain
They
parts
will
of
be
Mexico.
In certain parts of Mexico,
certain
yeah.
Man. Yes, but the Yucatan area.
I never heard of those numbers.
A lot of Americans move down there because they can take advantage of a better cost of living after retirement.
Well, it's kind of like going to Costa Rica. Listen, I know people go to foreign countries to do dental work and everything else because it costs cheaper down there. Liposuction, not me. I don't need any of that. So anyway, Roger Anderson, Dr. Davis, good to see you guys this
All
morning.
All right, man.
You can always email me, Ed, at WBOB.com. Ed. At WBOB.com. Our latest article's up online. Go to WBOB.com. Also, Facebook.com/600WBOB. We're thankful to God every day for this radio show. Thankful to many of you. Remember, never thank me for taking your call. I thank you for calling in. Again, at WBOB.com. At WBOB.com. It's good to be back. We're setting ready to go with another exciting week of talk radio. Again, right here on FM 101.1 AM 600, The Answer.
Want information and insight? We've got it. The Dennis Prager Show at noon at WBOB.